moved us to get a security system put in. So we do have a security system in our home, and we use it only when we go away. I have a revolver that's my protector there. How many of you have a computer? Most of you have computers. You have a security system on those computers? Isn't it called a password? You can't get into it. You know, I have a number of programs that needs passwords, and over the years I've changed them, and I forget what the passwords were. So I'll open a program, and I have no idea what the password is, and it asks the question, did you forget your password? And, of course, I look at it. I have to go back in, and they search it out for me and let me put a new password in. Then I forget that one. But anyway, you have today we have protections for our credit cards. You can get a company that will watch your credit card and your bank account. There's all kind of system put in place to protect us. We're constantly warned not to give your social security number out because someone can tap into it and steal your bank account and everything else. And certainly we need to be alerted to those things. We ought to be aware that there can be intrusion into your personal property. We know the world is full of thieves, apart from our government, by the way. There are other thieves in the world, too. But we try to guard our personal property. However, you can have a car alarm system and your car can still be stolen. You can have a security system in your house and someone can break in. I don't know how they do it, but they can do that. You can have a security system, the checking the bank, and they can still get your social security number, your bank account numbers, and can steal whatever they want. And we go to great expense to do that. It's not cheap to have an alarm system put in your house or to have someone watch over your accounts and so on. You pay fees for that every month. Do you know why we lock our doors? We want to protect ourselves, don't we? That's why we have all these systems put in place. I had a 1947 Ford. You know how old that is? That's a long time ago. And you know it had a security system in it? Any of you have a 47 Ford? It had a lock on the steering column. And you had to turn the key, and then you push that little lock up, and then you could steer it. If that lock was down, the key was off, you couldn't steer it. No one could steal your car. But that's really no guarantee. There was written an article in the paper, the man had an alarm system in his car, and he noticed there were things missing off his car. A rear view mirror was missing, and eventually other things were taken off his car, and the alarm didn't go off. And one evening he was heard some noise out there, and certainly there was a thief who was stealing parts off of his car. I can relate to that. A number of years ago, when we lived over in Manham Township, we had a Dodge van, and some of you might remember that. Jerry's not here, but Jerry purchased that van from me. But it was parked in front of our house, and Linda and I were going down to visit her daughter in Dover, Delaware, and we got in the car, drove out to Auchenbach, went inside and had coffee and donuts. Her mother and father were with us, and we had coffee and donuts, and we were going to drive. And I come out, and I said, boy, that van looks like mine, but there's no front end on it. The headlights were removed, the grill was removed, the bumper was gone. And I looked at it, and that's my car. And sitting in front of my house, someone took the whole front end off of it, and you know, you report it to police, and they have no idea. You know, but it's just, we have thieves in this country, and it's no question. I want to just change. Do you ever notice how a little child has very little discernment? When they begin to crawl, they'll see something over there, and they'll run over, and where do they put it? They pick it up. Where does it go? In their mouth, right? It could be a Cheerio. It could be a cornflakes, or it could be a crayon. It could be a nail. Who knows? You don't know. And what does the mother do? She screams, no, and she runs over there, and what does she do? Puts her finger in his mouth and tries to get her out of her mouth. There's very little discernment on the part of a child in regard to those things. They don't know whether it's good to eat or whether it's going to harm them. All they do is they want to get it in their mouth. So there's lack of discernment on the part of children. What I want to talk to you this morning is that same lack of discernment on the part of adults. And particularly Christians. We're not too concerned about what we take in. We listen to programs on TV. We listen to music on the radio. We read books and magazines, and our eyes are looking at all these things and hearing all these things that come across, and we have very little discernment. We don't know whether it's bad or good. We don't really care whether it's bad or good. We want to listen to it. We spend more time protecting our physical property than we do protecting our spiritual lives. Just think about that. Do you know that there's more damage has been done by a lack of discernment of what goes into a believer's life than all the personal properties of this world that have been robbed put together? Lives have been robbed of the joy that they can have in their Christian life. They miss out on all of that. It ends with all kinds of things that go wrong. The tragedies that happen in a believer's life. Will you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4? Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at one proverb. It's verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See, if you effectively protect all your physical stuff, you know, your bank accounts and your house and your car and your computer and whatever else you have, if you're successful in protecting all those and yet fail to protect your heart, what a disaster that is. Proverbs 4:23 is a very simple proverb. I've read it and reread it and read it again, and it's so powerful. It's so powerful. It gives us a strategic advice on our spiritual lives. You see, what you take into your heart, what goes into your heart, actually begins to manifest itself on the outside, and all the issues of life come out, are all controlled by that. So this morning I'd like to take, and I'm not going to have time to finish this. I'll try to skim over it as quickly as I can. I guess I have another proverb I want to teach you next week. But we want to take a little closer look at this proverb. When you read the book of Proverbs, you get the idea that Solomon is talking to a young man. And he's giving him advice. He's giving him advice on all kinds of things. Going with the wrong crowds. Sexual sins that could invade his life. He encourages the young man to have reverence to God and to pay careful attention to the good advice that Solomon is giving to them and adults or other people would give to him. He encourages these young people to cling to the wisdom for living a spiritual life. Those that hear his words, that is Solomon's, he says they are life and health for us. And yet we pay so little attention to what goes in. I want to read a portion of this passage to you and begin with verse 20. I want to put it in its context for you so that you can see what it's saying. He says, "My son, attend to what am I doing here? am I get down a little bit? All right. Let me start over. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health unto all flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips. Put away from and perverse lips put away from you. Let your eyes look right on, and your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. There's quite a bit of advice in that. I don't know if you noticed, but he sort of covers a variety of things. He talks about our heart and our mouth and our eyes and our eyelids and our lips and our feet. Those are all important things. I believe that what he's saying is the heart is what we think. It's how we think in our heart. And we need to protect that. The eyes speak of what we see. The mouth speaks of what we take in. You know, the Jewish people were very concerned with food and drink, and they were very careful to eat kosher food and so on, and they were very careful about those things. But there are other things that you could take in into your life. We have young people today that are in the drug culture and in alcohol, and there's all kinds of things that we can take in through our mouth. Our lips is, I suspect, is saying what we say, how we speak. Our eyelids, I had a problem with this one. I think it's what we dream when you close your eyes and you envision certain things. You know what I mean? When he talks about your feet, he's talking about where you go, where it takes you. Got to be careful. In all of those areas, we've got to be careful. Do you know which one's the hardest to control out of all those? The heart, the eyes, the mouth, the lips, the eyelids, and the feet. The hardest to control is the heart. And that's what Solomon is saying. We have to be very careful with the heart. We have to give all diligence to keep it safe. But he sort of spreads the whole thing out. We need to give attention to what we listen to. We need to incline. When it says incline your ears, he's saying like this. Bend your ears so you can hear correctly. You want to hear the truth. You want to hear the things that you need to hear. What you listen to is so important. In our day and age, we have a saying, garbage in, garbage out. Is that still around? I think it is. You know, you go to the computer and you put junk in, you're only going to get junk out. Well, the same thing is true in life. When you put garbage in, it's garbage that comes out. You know, it's true in churches too. A lot of preaching up there, it's garbage, that's all it is. It's entertainment, it's stories. And what happens? It's garbage out. There's no lack of discernment. There's no idea of what the spiritual walk is all about. It's garbage in and garbage out. We have to be so careful. We have to be so careful. You know, God's word is important to us. And Solomon is saying, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. I want you to look at verse 25. Let me read it to you. It says, verse 25, let me pick it up here. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You read it? Will you read it with me out loud? I have a point I want to make. Read it with me out loud. Let me begin. Keep your heart. I don't hear anyone. Keep heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now I want you to look at that very carefully. Now I want you to close your eyelids. Can you envision that verse? Let's repeat it. Let's repeat it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I think that's what he's talking about, our eyelids. You saturate yourself with the word, you look at it, you read it, you study it, and then your eyelids can see it, even though they're closed. Look carefully. It's so important that we understand the Christian life is not just going to church. It's just not getting a few doctrines straight. There's much more to it than that. And keeping God's word, keeping it, give all diligence. As it comes in, you give all diligence to protect it and watch over it and live it. And you're careful what goes out of your mouth and what goes your eyes see and your ears hear. It's important what you envision in your mind. It's important where your feet take you. I'm trying to move through this. By the way, the feet, when it talks about where you go, the feet was really the common person's way of transportation back then. I mean, when they want to go somewhere, they walk. That's the way it is. They had to keep it. And it's important. He's saying you ought to be careful where you walk. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you listen to. It's important. Isaiah 26, verse 7. I'll give you a couple of verses here I want to turn to. I skipped over Ephesians 4, 29. You can look at that later. I want to get through this morning. But it says, the way of the righteous is smooth. When he's talking about his feet moving. The word smooth has the idea of level. Level. It's clear sailing. You don't have any obstacles in front of you. The way of the righteous is smooth, O right, upright one. Make the path of your feet level. So we're looking out at this thing, and we want to have, when your feet are going in the right direction, God seems to smooth out the path for you. Not all the time. Sometimes there's complications there. But he opens that door for you. So you be careful where your feet walk. Be careful what your eyes see. Be careful what your mouth says. Be careful what you envision. Those are all important. You see, what Solomon is saying, that it's what's inside of you that's so important too. And what you see and hear and where you go all affect what you think on the inside. It seems so innocent to pick up a magazine and be looking at a magazine. It's so innocent for a man to open up the computer and look at pornography. It's so innocent for a woman to look at this, open up a magazine and see this beautiful girl and then want to be shapely like she is. You know, and if you eat the right food or you take the right whatever it is on your, put the right stuff on your face, you'll look like her. You know what I mean? And we get absorbed with that. Now, I'm not saying that those things are wrong. Not all of them. Now, pornography is wrong, of course. But concentrating your life on being something that you're not. God created you as a beautiful creature the way you are. And I look around the room and I see a lot of beautiful people. Not what's on the outside so much, but what's on the inside. And God is so concerned with the inside, and we're so concerned with the outside. So when Solomon says, here in this particular passage, give diligence to keep your heart, or keep your heart in all diligence, he's talking about we have to be careful what's going in, because what's going in will eventually find its way out. And if it's garbage in, it's going to be garbage out. The word keep is an interesting word. I'll give you just a few things about it, and you can write them down if you like. But it's found 60 times in the Old Testament. And here it's an imperative, it's a command. This is not a wish, but this is a command that Solomon is giving to this young man. You keep your heart. All right, that's an imperative. I want to give you some idea of what that means. Will you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8? Isaiah 1:8, when he says, keep it. Keep your heart. In Isaiah 1:8, will you turn there, please? The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now, you don't see that word keep there, but it's the word besieged. Besieged. You know what it means to besiege something? It means to surround it. Surround it. The enemy comes and they surround a city. And when they surround that city, you know what? They're careful what is left out, and they're careful what goes in. And not anyone can get in. And what Solomon is telling us, you have to be careful what goes in and what comes out. See, there's a season for everything. There's a time to say things, and there's a time to keep your mouth shut, too. You know what I mean? And there's a time when you can allow things to come in, but you're going to be protected. It's going to be, you're going to protect your heart like a city that's under siege. No one can get in unless you give them permission, is what he's saying to us. This word is used a number of times in the scripture. I don't have them written up here, but it's spoke of keeping mercy. It's keeping the covenant. It's keeping the law. See, that word is used a number of times. And all the protection that this siege, this wall around you brings into life. You need to guard, or we need to guard, I should say. We need to keep or to protect our hearts by putting up a siege around it. A protective wall, if you please. Nothing should be allowed in unless it's safe. All the enemies of the heart must be kept out. And so we want to protect it. Now the word heart is also an interesting word. We're to keep our hearts. A Jewish man hearing these words would not have thought as we think. When we think about the heart, usually we think about the emotions. I love my wife with all my heart. You know what I mean? You get that idea? Or I'm brokenhearted. It has to do with emotions. But to a Jew, it wasn't the heart that was the seat of his emotions. The seat of his emotions were in his stomach. And when he felt something deeply, it was in his stomach. You ever get that feeling in your stomach? Maybe it was a sick feeling that you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, or you said the wrong thing, or something was happening, you got that sick feeling. It was in his belly. If a Jewish young man wanted to tell a Jewish young woman that he loved her, he would say something like this. He would say, let me find it for you. He would say, I love you with all my belly. Love you with all my belly. In the New Testament, it even gets a little different. In the New Testament, when he's talking about this, he talks about the bowels. Philippians 1:8. Paul writes these words, for God is my witness how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine me sending my wife a Valentine and I would say on that Valentine, I love you with all my bowels. You see, words have conveyed things. And to a Jew, when he talks about the heart, he's not talking about the emotions. You and I think of it more of an emotional appeal. The word heart is the word lib or lob in the Greek. It's L-E-B. And it was used in reference to the spiritual aspect of a man, not his emotions. But he's rising way above that. The mind or the will or the conscience. The moral character of a person. He was the seat of his passions. His drive inside of him. It was the seat of his courage. And you can read these in the Old Testament. You know, they went out to fight and the courage that he had in his heart. So when we look at this word heart to the young man that Solomon is writing to, he's looking at it as his whole life. It encompasses his whole life. And he says you've got to put a wall around it. You've got to besiege it. You've got to be careful with it. You see, Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? If that's true and it is, then we've got to be careful what you take in, what you allow in. You just can't let all the garbage of this world come in because it's going to spew itself out eventually. Be careful. Someone has translated it like this. The heart is the fountain from which all our actions are determined. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Everything that you do is affected by how you think, what enters into the heart. That's what Solomon is trying to tell this young man. You have to be so careful what you take in and what you put in your heart. Now, you have various translations and you can read them. A.W. Tozer wrote this, every person is really what he or she secretly admires. That's down in the heart. If I can learn what you admire, I will know what you are. For people are what they think about when they are free to think about what they will. Did you get that? When you're free to think whatever you want to think, where does it take you? What are you thinking about? And if I knew what you were thinking about, then I would know what kind of a person you are. Do you think it's important to protect your heart? I believe so. I believe so. Now, there are lots of ways that we can protect our heart, of course. And it would be nice if when we were listening to something that somehow in our mind a bell would go off and say, you shouldn't listen to this. An alarm system, you know what I mean? Or if you're going to walk into some place, an alarm system would go off because that isn't where you're supposed to be. Wouldn't it be nice? But we don't have any alarms like that. At least not yet. I don't know if they will eventually, but we don't have any alarms like that. So what we have to rely upon is God's Word. And God's Word gives us things that we ought to avoid or we ought to watch out for in our lives. I'm going to give you a few verses because my time is just about up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived, the Apostle Paul writes. Communications corrupts good manners. Bad company corrupts good morals, if you please. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. You got to be careful of what you're listening to. Even if it's a preacher. Even if it's in a church. You've got to be careful what you're listening to. Ephesians 4:22. We're just going beyond that now. Ephesians 4:22. You can write these verses down. That you put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. See, we know that that's what we ought to do. If we're going to protect ourselves, we're going to put a wall up, there are things that we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be participating in. 1 Timothy 6:5 says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. Watch where you walk. I like to read on down in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. He writes this, 2 Timothy 3:1-7. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. By the way, did you read about the lady that up in Lebanon that left her little child out in the car in the heat? Where are we? Where are we? We better listen to Billy Graham. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, reckless, high-minded. The word high-minded is sort of like a smoke and mirror type of thing. You're saying one thing, but it's altogether different. They're just casting out this smoke, and you can't really see what's under behind it. We call it smoke and mirrors. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. If you're going to defend yourself, you've got this wall around you, turn away from that kind of thing. You don't belong there. from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, these are just a few of the warnings. There are many, many warnings in the Scripture. I'm just throwing out a few of you. Drop, if you're in 2 Timothy, will you drop down to verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14? But continue in the things which you have learned and have been accused of, or assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Protect yourself. Use the Word of God. It's so important. Oh, let's see. I've got to finish up quickly here. You're to protect your heart with all diligence. That's an interesting word, too. The word is mismar in the Hebrew. It means to guard. It's used of a prison. And in Nehemiah, I'll give that to you. In Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 3, when the Jews returned from the captivity, they put guards out there to protect the city. The wall wasn't complete yet, but they were building the walls, and they put guards out to protect the people who are inside of it. That's what that word is used. Let me read it to you very quickly. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, and while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and everyone in his watch, in his guard. They were armed. You want to surround yourself in your heart with armed guards, if you please. Jeremiah 51:12, you can read that. I don't have time to read it to you. But you're to keep your heart with all diligence, with all the power, the military that you can gather, all the armament that you can find. Put them in there and protect yourselves. All right, I'm a minute over, so let me just say one more thing. It says that you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, that word that's translated issues is found 23 times, I believe, in the Old Testament. It's only translated issues twice. 20 times it's translated outgoing or going out. Once it's translated border. And what that word means is that all the extremities, if you can surround yourself, all right? All your extremities, all your life, everything that's involved within those borders of your life are involved because it issues forth from the heart. See, out of your heart issues everything, all the borders of your life. And it will take you to the end of your life. It's not for today, it's not for tomorrow, but it's for the rest of your life. One more, I just give you this passage real quick. It's found one more time. It's translated in Psalm 68, verse 20. It says this, He that is our God is a God of salvation, and unto our God the Lord belong the issues of death. So these are the issues of life and of death for you. And you take it all the way out to the border, all the way out to the end. I told you, there's no retirement in the Christian life. There's no retirement for you. You get to the age of 65 or 75 or 85, whatever you get to, and say, well, now I can relax. All the issues of your life, as long as you're living, emanates from the heart, every issue. And you need to protect it with all diligence, with all the armor you can muster up. Because it has to carry you all the way to the end. Don't misunderstand that. I have to stop there or we won't be able to sing. Let's close with a word of prayer. Shall we, Father? We thank you this morning for your loving kindness to us. We thank you for the warnings that you pour out in our lives constantly that we have to be careful. We have to be careful of what we hear and see, what we say, what we take in our mouth, where our feet carry us. And Father, certainly we have to be careful what enters into our hearts. And so this morning, as we looked at this very simple proverb, give diligence to protect it, to keep it. For we know that life is not just the Christian life, that we isolate that off on one side and the rest of our life in another corner. It's all that we have. And so all the issues of life, all right down to the last, right down to the end, our hearts determine what it's going to be like. So, Father, we pray for each one here this morning that we might take this exhortation, that each of us might take that exhortation from Solomon and give all diligence to keep our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.